The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
When Nicole Sandler sits down to do her show, she's the producer, booking the guests, pulling the audio, planning the show, the engineer, running the controls, troubleshooting any problems, playing the sounds, calling the guests, and she's the webmaster, writing the blog, posting the podcast, maintaining the website, not to mention the host, interviewing the guests, explaining the issues, giving opinions, and calling out the bad guys, and then you get the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com.
Aha! We are here, and it is a Friday. Yay. I almost wasn't here today. I'm just in one of those moods. And one of these days, maybe I'll tell you what got me here. But frankly, it was reading a book of an author who I was supposed to interview in a couple of weeks. And I had to call. I had to write them and say, you know what? Not going to do this one. And for good reason, I just can't. And now is not the time to tell you about it, but remind me in a couple of weeks and maybe I will. I just, you know, I don't want to set myself up to fight with somebody. And after reading this book, I just know it would be a very contentious interview. So I opted against it, but it put me in kind of a lousy mood. Because I sort of agonized over it. Anyway, I didn't have anybody booked to come on today. And I went back through the archives and I found a show from 10 years ago. It's actually 10 years ago tomorrow. It was October 22nd of 2012. And back then I was doing a 2-hour daily show. I was younger. Brad Friedman was on, talking about the problems with the touchscreen voting machines. You know how it's so interesting that when Democrats had a problem with the way the votes were tabulated, we were told we were crazy. We needed to shut up and sit down, basically. And there have been problems. I mean, back then, around that time, there was a movie made called Hacking Democracy that featured Ion Sancho, who was the Florida supervisor of elections, in Leon County, Florida. And so they recreated the ways that the votes were flipped. What Donald Trump and his ilk did around the 2020 election was take legitimate concerns we had and then twisted them to suit their purposes, all the while lying about everything. That's really what I think weighs heaviest on me, is this opposite world nature of the times we're living through. We're faced with an opposition party who has no moral compass. They have no line of ethics. They lie about everything. And what they do, their tendency to lie, cheat, and steal is what they accuse us of doing. And so it's really hard to argue with someone who just their response to everything is, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. That's a lie. But they don't ever come out with any facts to back it up because there are none. So, you know, it would be one thing if the masses got it, if they understood this is what we're dealing with here. But in too many cases, they believe the bullshit. What did George W. Bush used to say? Catapult the propaganda. You say something enough times, people start to believe you. You catapult the propaganda. Yeah. So it's gaslighting to the nth degree to where we think we're going crazy, but we're not. We're the sane ones here. This just crossed my desktop. I'm going to play this clip for you. Do you remember Laura Logan? She used to be on 60 Minutes. And she was accosted in Tahrir Square, right? Covering the Arab Spring. I don't know if that's what turned her into a raving lunatic, but she got she went nuts, right? So she was fired from CBS, from 60 Minutes, and she went to Fox because obviously that's a better fit for her. That's where she belongs. But she even proved to be too crazy for Fox. So she wound up on Newsmax. Well, now Laura Logan has been exiled from Newsmax. And when you're exiled from Newsmax, you know you've got problems, right? What did she say that got her exiled from Newsmax? Oh, let me share this with you. I was actually going to only play the end of it so you hear the like the kicker, but I think you need to hear the lead up. It's still under 2 minutes, so bear with me. She's on Newsmax with Eric Bolling, of all people, and they're talking about how they're such, you know, soldiers for God. It's all about God, don't you know?
They have all these luxuries, and they lie about it. Yeah.
Well, that's how's us. It we lie, right? How does it end?
Well, it ends badly for some. Okay, so on a serious note.
Okay, she says it ends badly for some and laughs and then says, but on a serious note, because I guess that was funny. Okay, keep going, girl.
You know, people of all faiths have said to me that this is a spiritual battle.
A spiritual battle.
I am a firm and solid and immovable believer in God.
Really?
And I believe that God wins. I believe that good is greater than evil. And I believe that the fallen angel, otherwise known as Satan, doesn't get to prevail in this world.
Uh-huh.
So if you follow the Bible or if you follow the Quran or you follow the Book of Mormon, you know, people talk in various different ways about the end times.
Yeah.
And if you fight for God, God will fight for you.
Oh, okay.
Final thought, Lara.
He's gone. All right. Get to the point.
My audience
here,
is very God-fearing, God-loving, et cetera. Final thought. I only a couple
here
seconds.
Here we go.
Please. Is God okay with a closed border?
Is God okay with a closed border?
It's much bigger than that.
Oh.
God believes that in sovereignty and national identity and the sanctity of family.
God believes in what? The national sovereignty and sanctity of family? Does God talk to her? I'd love to know if he because she says he's a he, tells her these things himself. Oh, but wait, there's more.
And all the things that we've lived with from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And he knows that the open border is Satan's way of taking control of the world through all of these people who are his stooges and his servants.
Okay.
And they may think that they're going to become gods. That's what they tell us. You've all know Harari and all the rest of them at the World Economic Forum.
Yeah.
You know, the ones who want us eating insects, cockroaches and that while they dine. On the blood of children. Yeah.
Okay, the ones who want us eating cockroaches, insects, and things while they dine on the blood of children. That, my friends, that was the winning entry. That's what gets Laura Logan kicked off of Newsmax. Oh my God, the crazy is thick there. Holy shit. Well, the crazy is also thick here in Florida. Yesterday, I played for you a clip of our governor, you know, the one I lovingly call moron death sentence. Well, the reason I started calling him death sentence, because it used to be like De Satan, you know, I had all kinds of names for him. But he became governor death sentence when he started denying COVID, started saying, you don't need no stinking vaccine. Really? This is what he said yesterday.
Parents, by and large, most parents in Florida have opted against doing these booster shots, particularly for the young kids.
No, they haven't.
The Surgeon General of Florida does not recommend this for young kids, kids under 18. And basically his reason for that, there's not really been a proven benefit for that. I mean, we can get into some of the potential side effects. You don't even really need to do that. Not been a proven benefit, but it's a free state. Parents can make the other decision if that's what they want.
Oh, my God. Where to even begin? The quack that Governor Death Sentence chose to be Florida's Surgeon General is a quack. Quack. Let me just read to you this that just crossed over, you know, my desktop today. This week, Florida Surgeon General Joseph Latipo, who was recently lambasted by experts for his bizarre stance on the COVID-19 vaccine, appeared on QAnon show X-22 to cast doubt on the safety of vaccines. What? I didn't bother going to look for X22 because, frankly, I'd have no idea where to find it, number one. And number two, it's probably, pulled. It's not on any of the major stream services because they're batshit crazy. Let's see. It continues. Extreme anti-vax pandering isn't out of character for Latipo and DeSantis, who purposefully delayed and reduced vaccine access for parents of small children in Florida while the rest of the country was able to receive them. It is, however, highly unusual for a sitting government public official to appear on a QAnon show. But that's what they do. So if you're wondering a little bit more, I alluded to it yesterday, but I brought the receipts today. So who is Joseph Latipo? Well, let's go back to an article from Slate.com from just over a year ago. It was September 22nd, 2021. And let me just read to you a little bit. This is, again, a little over a year ago. Donald Trump aligned Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, whose state recorded more COVID-19 cases and deaths in August than it did in any month before vaccines became widely available, has appointed a new state surgeon general. Is it someone normal who will tell people to get vaccinated? No, you idiot. It's a doctor named Joseph Latipo, who was last seen on the national stage participating in a COVID miracle cure event with another doctor who believes that lizard people control the government and that demons cause gynecological problems by implanting stolen sperm. As well as a third doctor who later got arrested for being part of the mob that smashed into the U.S. Capitol in an effort to overturn the presidential election. The first doctor's name is Stella Emanuel. And yeah, I do have some video. Now, I went looking for that original video where that went viral in which she talked about hydroxychloroquine as the cure for COVID. And you don't need to wear a mask. We have hydroxychloroquine. I couldn't pull that one for you because it's been removed from social media. Yeah, it's been taken down because it's bullshit. But here's something I found. It's coverage of that event. Of that so-called doctor. Here's a little bit of it.
Bold claim tonight by a Houston doctor going viral online. She says there is a cure for the pandemic, so you don't need to wear a mask. This kind of story is why we have Verify, and tonight our Verify team is getting to the bottom of this.
Oh, yeah.
Here's Marcelino Benito.
Okay.
I'm Dr. Stella Emanuel. I'm a primary care physician in Houston, Texas.
Uh-huh.
This Houston woman, now in national news, thanks to COVID-19 claims like this.
There is a cure for COVID. It's called hydroxychloroquine. I know you people want to talk about mask. Hello? You don't need mask.
You don't
Let's
need mask.
Let's tackle the first claim. Our sources, infectious disease expert Dr. Peter Hotez and the FDA.
Now we have multiple studies. Hydroxychloroquine has no proven benefit for either for the treatment or for prevention of COVID-19.
No,
the FDA revoked emergency use of the drug to treat COVID-19 patients, citing that risks outweighed benefits of the drug and use could lead to serious cardiac adverse events. So we can verify Dr. Emanuel's claim is false. There is no cure for COVID-19. Next, Dr. Emanuel claimed you don't need masks. This, too, is flat-out false. Our source here is the CDC. Per CDC guidelines online, masks are a barrier to prevent respiratory droplets from traveling into the air when we cough, sneeze, or talk. That helps prevent the spread of the virus. Both of these false claims were retweeted by President Trump and his son before Twitter and Facebook deleted the doctor's video on their platforms.
Uh-oh.
I thought her voice was an important voice, but I know nothing about her.
So is Dr. Emanuel a licensed doctor? Our source for this is the Texas Medical Board. Records show she has an active license with specialties in pediatrics and emergency medicine. She practices out of this clinic off Highway 6 near Katy, the same strip mall, also home to Firepower Ministries.
Oi.
That's a Christian ministry run by Dr. Emanuel.
Of course it
so
is.
So yes, we can verify she's a real doctor. She does, however, have a history of outrageous claims, including that doctors make medicine using DNA from aliens.
Yeah.
Any of her COVID-19 videos have been taken off social media.
Yep.
Dr. Emanuel tweeted demanding Facebook repost them, threatening Jesus will take down Facebook if they don't. With your verified. I'm Marcelino Benito.
Yeah.
KHOU.
Okay. So that is the group that Florida's Surgeon General, Dr. Joseph Latipo, is aligned with. That's who Moron Death Sentence thought, that's the guy. Now, allegedly, Dr. Latipo says that he was on the front lines against COVID, that in fact, in the first surge, he worked at UCLA. He was on the front lines treating the COVID patients. Problem is, nobody at UCLA seems to know who he is. So that's who Ron DeSantis chose as his running mate. Feel confident yet? Yeah. Alien DNA. Demon sperm was what she alleged. Okay. You know, months ago, I played for you an ad that DeSantis ran when he was running for governor the first time. When he pimped out his kids. He put his kids in Trump swag. It was disgusting. It was horrible. But he topped himself because...
Not his running mate.
Oh, his running mate.
Chose lapdog as...
Oh, his as his surgeon general. I'm sorry. It's Friday and my brain is not functioning well. Lapdog as his surgeon general, not his running mate. But I wouldn't put it past him. Anyway, now he's topped himself in the shameless category. His wife stars in a new ad. Now, let me tell you this, and you probably know it. People who've been here for a while know it. I am 6 years cancer-free. I'm a lung cancer survivor. I had to have major surgery. I had most of my left lung removed 6 years ago. Major surgery. My husband took care of me. He went to every doctor's appointment with me. He was there. He's there. He was there constantly. Anything I needed, because I'm his wife and he loves me. And that's what a husband does. It's not going above and beyond. That is the role of a spouse in a respectful marriage. So he doesn't try to get brownie points for doing what is expected of him in a marriage when I was sick. That said, I'm going to play for you this new ad that is blanketing the airwaves down here. It's offensive, so be prepared. Hold on, I'm just trying to get the shot set up because I am my own producer. Okay, so prepare yourself. Here's Casey DeSantis. You ready? Tell us who Ron DeSantis really is, Casey. Come on.
I get asked all the time, who is Ron DeSantis?
Uh-huh.
Well, he's the kid who grew up right here in Florida,
aww,
working his tail off, paying his own way through school,
aww,
then volunteering to serve in the Navy and deploying to Iraq. He's the man who I fell in love with from the moment we met. And he's the dad of three very rambunctious, energetic children. Mamie, our two-year-old little comedian. Madison, our beautiful, sweet five-year-old.
Who you pimped out.
And Mason, our
in the general election
athlete. But if you want to know who Ron DeSantis really is.
Yeah.
When I was diagnosed with cancer.
Oh, here come the tears.
And I was facing the battle for my life. He was the dad who took care of my children when I couldn't.
Oh, no. Wow.
He was there to pick me off of the ground when I literally could not stand.
Oh, please.
He was there to fight for me when I didn't have the strength to fight for myself.
You hear the cracking in her voice.
That is who Ron DeSantis is.
That is sickening. I'm sorry. Pimping out your wife's cancer?
I get asked all...
Oh, sorry. We don't need to hear that again. Pimping out his wife's cancer for the sympathy vote? Are you kidding me? He did what he was supposed to do as a husband. That is a campaign ad? He can't talk about his record because then he'd have to talk about how he chose Dr. Joseph Latipo to be our Surgeon General. Ugh. Yeah, they were his kids, but please. So, I was very happy today to see that the newspaper, our local newspaper, we've got two of them in South Florida here, but the big one, the Miami Herald, today made their endorsement. And what it says, for those of you who can't see the camera, it says there's only one real choice for Florida governor. And there's a big picture of a smiling face of Charlie Crist looking back at us. Now, I thought, okay, I'm going to read that because, look, this dictator wannabe, this mini Trump, is not satisfied just being governor of Florida. He's got his sights set on the White House. And, you know, he's been openly campaigning around the country. That's what he's been doing. He's not here in Florida. He's been around the country getting his name out there for the 2024 presidential election. So, you know, I said, all right, I'm going to read this thing. Well, then I pull it out of the paper and you see it runs the whole page. It is a full page of copy, this endorsement for Charlie Crist. I'm going to read it. See, here's the thing. So I went to look for the other paper, the South Florida Sun Sentinel, to see if they made their endorsement yet. And I thought maybe I could, you know, take a couple of lines from each one and kind of combine them. But, you know, there's been a trend around the country. Newspapers are being bought up by hedge funds, by investment firms. And in fact, this here Miami Herald is a shadow of what it used to be. McClatchy was a newspaper company. But McClatchy is now owned by Chatham Asset Management. Chatham Asset Management. They beat out Alden Capital, who's been buying up newspapers around the country. And in fact, Alden bought the Tribune Group, the Tribune Publishing Company. Tribune, which owned, you get it, the other one in here in South Florida, the South Florida Sun Sentinel. So it's two, you know, hedge funds, two investment firms, basically, that control the newspapers in South Florida. But I went looking to see if they've made their endorsement there. And here's what I find. The South Florida Sun Sentinel and Orlando Sentinel, excuse me, will no longer endorse candidates in races for governor, Senate, or president, including in the 2022 races for U.S. Senator and governor. What? So South Florida Sun Sentinel is like, yeah, it's a little, you know, I guess it goes against our corporate overlords. So we're just not going to go there. We'll do endorsements in the local races, but not for those federal jobs, not for governor, not for president, and not for the U.S. Senate. Really? Okay. So I guess I need to read the Miami Herald's endorsement of Charlie Crist. And maybe I'll break it up because it is very long. But, you know, I went through it. I pulled the pen out. I was going to edit it. I can't. There's just too much here. So let's get to it. And yeah, and I'll break it up. I'll read a section and then I'll share something else with you that I want to share with you today. Maybe I'll take a phone call. Phone lines are open. We don't have a guest today, so feel free to call in. Excuse me. All right, so the headline reads, there's only one real choice for Florida governor. And it begins thusly. Governor Ron DeSantis's Florida is a place of meanness. Meanness. It's a place where dissent is muzzled, where personal rights triumph over the greater good, where winning is more important than unity, especially if that victory moves him closer to a White House run. Told you, didn't I? That's not the Florida we had 4 years ago, and it's not a Florida that voters should tolerate for the next 4 years. There's a far better choice in the November 8th election, Democrat Charlie Crist. DeSantis's first term in office has been defined by stunt after stunt and made for Fox News grandstanding as he claims successive wins in the culture wars created by the politics of division that he exploits for his own gain. Meanwhile, real crises such as the lack of affordable housing and property insurance are barely addressed. Let me say it again. You cannot buy property insurance in Florida today. You cannot. And you can't rent a place either because costs have skyrocketed. Okay, back to this. There was the recent taxpayer-funded flight of Venezuelan asylum seekers from Texas to Martha's Vineyard. The migrants reportedly were duped into believing they could get jobs, but instead ended up on the Massachusetts vacation island, pawns in DeSantis's thirst for attention. His willingness to upend the lives of vulnerable people for self-aggrandizing publicity appears to have also been behind his boastful announcement in August of the arrest of 20 people, ex-offenders he said voted illegally. However, those arrested have told the Herald that their county election supervisor's office said they could cast ballots after Floridians approved the restoration of voting rights for some ex-felons. DeSantis' own administration was responsible for flagging ineligible voters, but didn't. By the way, let me break in here and say the first of those cases was thrown out by a judge today who basically called
bullshit
on DeSantis' bullshit. Thrown out. Said, stop it. The first of 20. I would expect there are 19 more to come. Back to this. John Ostojich, Charlie Crist was a one-time governor of Florida, not a two-time governor of Florida, because he decided after his first term that he was going to run for the Senate. So, you know, he served one term. Okay, back to the endorsement. There's DeSantis's crusade to protect white Floridians from alleged reverse racism at the hands of the so-called woke teachers and workplace diversity trainers. His targeting of drag queens and a Miami bar because a parent brought their child to a popular drag brunch. His use of, quote, parental rights to create a new culture war surrounding the teachings of LGBTQ plus issues at schools. His exploitation of the COVID pandemic and masking of children as political tools to proclaim Florida as the, quote, free state, as long as your version of freedom agrees with his. Still, we can't deny that DeSantis is a highly popular governor within the state and beyond, depending on one's political leaning. He has loyal supporters, and he is a Trump-like figure without the buffoonery. I disagree with that. And he can deftly play both sides against the middle. Continues under the heading Both Ways. While denigrating teachers at traditional public schools, for instance, the governor guaranteed $500 million to raise the minimum teacher salary and provide raises for veteran teachers and other instructional personnel. He secured the highest ever per pupil spending totals at $7,793 per student. He eliminated the hated Common Core from Florida's classrooms, invested more than $124 million for Florida's historically black colleges and universities, and gave parents an outsized voice in their children's education. Just one skirmish in his culture wars. Similarly, he pushed to reopen the state during the COVID-19 pandemic sooner than many others and less safely. His reelection ads tie Florida's fast economic rebound to his actions to reopen the state early. But again, he used the pandemic as a political opportunity, pushing unproven treatment instead of vaccines to counter the Omicron variant. Initially, refusing to release the names of facilities where long-term care residents and staff had been exposed. Overseeing a health department accused of undercounting the number of dead, downplaying vaccines while areas with his supporters got theirs first. Oh, they indeed did. Handcuffing local officials from imposing stringent measures to fight the pandemic. And let's not get into his threats against school districts that wanted to order mask mandates. More than 80,000 Floridians have died of COVID, something DeSantis has rarely, if ever, acknowledged. Wedge issues. DeSantis, 44, is governor, yes, but with a broad streak of autocrat. He flaunts Florida's, quote, freedom, but it's granted only to a special few. He wants to control every aspect of how Florida functions. He targets people and communities who disagree with him. Let me emphasize that. He targets people and communities who simply disagree with him. He pits Floridians against each other to reap political power. There's no place for dissent or even normal discussion in the DeSantis administration, as demonstrated by his attacks against media to deflect potential governmental blame, even as Hurricane Ian's victims were still being counted. He is an avenging governor, punishing Disney for supporting LGBTQ plus rights. The compliant Republican legislature aids and abets him, cowed into compliance by his brutal style of politics. Crist, 66, is seasoned, smart, and reasonable. He treats people with courtesy in contrast to DeSantis, who publicly snapped at high school students for wearing masks and accused them of engaging in, quote, COVID theater. Urgh. God, that pisses me off. Crist has detailed plans on how to tackle the affordable housing crisis, one of the most important quality of life issues in the state. He's a consensus builder, something we've missed since DeSantis took office. Actually, we didn't have it in the 8 years before that when Rick Scott held the office. Sometimes the Miami Herald has selective memory. But let me get back to it. He's a consensus builder, something lacked. Okay. And he knows intimately how government works. There certainly are knocks against Crist. He's been criticized as a career politician and political chameleon. And it's true that he's a former Republican governor turned independent, turned Democratic congressman who is now running for governor again. But he says the Republican Party left him, not the other way around. A realization shared by many traditional Republicans. But more than anything, Crist is what we need to return Florida to normalcy and common decency. He'd stop the culture wars over made-up issues that have no bearing on Floridians' everyday lives and get on with the business of governing. And no matter how much Republicans try to paint Crist as a leftist or a socialist, he's not. Instead, he's that rarely seen breed in the Florida politics of today, a moderate. As a Republican governor, he displayed independence when he vetoed a bill that would have forced women to undergo an ultrasound before having an abortion. Yeah, he did. And though he came under attack earlier this year from his Democratic primary opponent, Nikki Fried, for his word parsing when it comes to abortion rights, he has made it clear he will protect a woman's right to choose by signing an executive order on his first day in office. I'll take it. DeSantis, on the other hand, has vowed to, quote, expand pro-life protections after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade. Republicans control the legislature, and it's very likely they will further restrict the 15-week abortion ban they passed this year. Make no mistake, reproductive rights are at stake in this year's gubernatorial election. DeSantis has done little, if anything, to address the exorbitant costs of buying and renting a home. Imagine if the governor dedicated only a fraction of the attention he's devoted to bashing, quote, critical race theory, to affordable housing. He has recommended lawmakers fully fund the state's Affordable Housing Trust Fund over the years, but he's never pushed his Republican allies in the legislature to come up with comprehensive solutions to the issue, and actually signed a bill that enshrines into law lawmakers' habit of raiding that trust fund for other purposes. Crist would expand down payment assistance programs and appoint a housing czar to help local governments meet housing affordability goals. In July, he told the editorial board that he wants a, quote, Wall Street crackdown on companies that are buying huge tracts of land to flip and make a quick profit, raising costs for working and middle-class families. Taking on those big companies will be a challenge with a Republican-controlled legislature. As governor, Crist approved cuts to the Sadowski Housing Trust Fund, but he said that was necessary during the Great Recession. He now says that he wants to fully fund it and would work to repeal the bill DeSantis signed. All right. Again, if you're just joining us, I am reading the full page Miami Herald endorsement of Governor Charlie Crist. And as much of an endorsement as it is, it's also that much of a repudiation of the guy who currently is occupying the governor's mansion up in Tallahassee. They're giving you every reason that Ron death sentence should not be reelected in Florida. And furthermore, reason why I'm sharing this today, every reason why the country as a whole should not even consider him to be their 2024 presidential nominee. All right, so let's get back to it, shall we? The Miami Herald says, we give DeSantis credit for spearheading the recovery in Southwest Florida from the ravages of Hurricane Ian with a $1 billion price tag. He's put on his boots, yes, those white boots, and launched a fast-moving recovery plan. For example, it only took the state a few weeks to repair a crucial bridge into Sanibel, not the months predicted. That's what we would expect from any state's executive leader, much like we'd expect from any husband whose wife is sick and dealing with cancer. Just saying. However, Crist has rightly criticized DeSantis for allowing the state's other crisis, property insurance, to balloon. Hurricane Ian threatens to turn that crisis into a catastrophe. Under DeSantis' leadership, the legislature passed Band-Aid reforms during a hasty 3-day special legislative session. Since then, you hardly hear the governor talk about the issue, despite homeowners losing coverage or facing jaw-dropping premium hikes. But there's plenty of talk about those deviant drag queens. Oh, yeah. Crist has a 7-point plan to fix the state's property insurance system. He would require, for example, that large companies that provide car insurance also provide homeowners insurance. That would address the cherry picking that insurers do, leaving many Floridians out in the cold. It's a smart move, and we'd like to learn more. Crist's political resume is hard to beat. He served in the Florida Senate, then as the state's education commissioner, attorney general, and Republican governor for one term before winning the St. Petersburg congressional seat he has held since 2017. He's also lost elections in 2010 to U.S. Senator Marco Rubio and in 2014 when he came within 1 point of ousting then-Governor Rick Scott, who we were then stuck with for another 4 years. The guy who was responsible for the largest fraud committed against Medicare, against the U.S. government, when he headed up Columbia Health Corporation of America. Yeah, that Rick Scott. Sorry, back to the editorial. All of that experience gives him a deep understanding of Florida and how the legislature works. Okay, the next section is headlined, Where Crist Stands. On issues of law and order, Crist wants the state to allow felons who have completed their sentences to vote. Hello, we passed a constitutional amendment to allow that. And Rick Scott, and then more on death sentence, both said, no, we've got poll taxes to take care of that. And they addressed that here. Again, even while continuing to pay fines or restitution, as Florida's Amendment 4 was supposed to do before Republican lawmakers undercut it. Floridians voted to restore the voting rights of former felons, and they deserve a governor who will honor that intent. Though Crist was once nicknamed Chain Gang Charlie, he was, in the 1990s for championing roadside prison work crews in Florida, when he became governor, he restored voting rights to 155,000 convicted felons, streamlining the clemency process and rejecting a policy rooted in the Jim Crow era, a standout accomplishment for civil rights, despite former Governor Rick Scott's subsequent decision to revoke the measure. Crist would also seek to expunge marijuana possession charges and sentences, a measure that would fall in line with President Biden's pardon this month of people convicted of marijuana possession charges under federal law. He supports legalizing recreational marijuana, saying any taxes on it could go toward raises for veteran teachers. I like that idea. On gun control, Crist said he supports a ban on military-style rifles, saying they, quote, shouldn't be on the streets of America. South Florida suffered through the Parkland school shooting. There's no question that we agree. Yes, and then John Doe says, holy fuck, are you still reading? I told you, it's long, and I'm going to read the whole thing. But we're down to the last column now. Climate change and environmental issues are becoming increasingly urgent in Florida, you think? With Hurricane Ian is just the most recent example. Crist is the right choice to fight for environmental causes, even when facing pressure from business interests, and that's based on his record. As governor, he hosted a climate change summit in Miami all the way back in 2007. Early days for that topic. He also clashed with Florida Power and Light on rate increases. He wants utility companies to have less control over state agency that oversees them by allowing voters to decide whether to retain members of the Public Service Commission, which has been notorious for going along with FPL's requests. Crist came close to finalizing a historic $1.75 billion Everglades land deal to help restore the flow of water from Lake Okeechobee to the Everglades. Though most of the purchase fell through when the Great Recession hit, Crist understands that preserving Florida's environment is critical, ultimately a pro-business stance. Crist said he'll work to attract technology and other clean industries to Florida, which could help reduce the state's economic reliance on tourism. Crist is all in on solar power, saying the state should lead the way. But you know what? Here in Florida, you can't even get solar panels. Seriously, the Sunshine State. No go. DeSantis, too, they say, has been an ally of the Everglades and supports building a reservoir to clean and send more water south. Soon after taking office, he created an algae bloom task force and appointed a chief resilience officer. He spearheaded the creation of a state program that helps communities pay for projects that mitigate the impacts of sea level rise. He signed the Clean Waterways Act to minimize the impact of known sources of nutrient pollution. And for Miami-Dade, he announced a $20 million investment into the protection and preservation of Biscayne Bay. Of Biscayne Bay, a joint funding initiative between the state for important infrastructure updates and new technology to help predict and prevent sanitary sewer overflows into the bay. But climate change and the state's reliance on fossil fuels aren't topics you hear the governor discuss or even acknowledge. He doesn't. On voting rights, Crist would push to reverse the limits on mail-in ballots imposed by the legislature under death sentence. He also wants to declare Election Day a state holiday to allow more people to vote, and he would push the legislature to move primaries from the slow middle of the summer, August, to the spring, when more voters are in the state. Those are the common sense changes that would encourage people to vote. Except for some high spots, DeSantis has deeply damaged our state in 4 years. Let me repeat that line again. Except for some high spots, DeSantis has deeply damaged our state in 4 years. Instead of bringing us together so that united we can confront and solve our biggest challenges, he has pushed us apart. Instead of working for the betterment of everyone, he has worked only for the betterment of himself and his drive for higher office. Instead of encouraging us to reach for our better selves, he has sown suspicion and scorn. He has marginalized, penalized, and ostracized entire groups of people, his constituents, though he spurns them relentlessly. 4 more years of this, and what'll be left of civil society in Florida will become unrecognizable. Charlie Crist is the best choice. He'll work to unite us, Democrats, Republicans, and independents alike. He's what Florida needs now. The Miami Herald editorial board recommends Charlie Crist for governor of Florida. Hell yeah! Honestly, I did not expect this from the Miami Herald. Again, especially now that McClatchy is owned by the Chatham Asset Management Group. Yeah, there is no more newspaper. There is no more journalism. People are talking about what high spots. Yeah, we know that, you know, the brown spots, the skid marks. So that's what's happening here in Florida. But, you know, if Charlie Crist doesn't win, we're leaving. I cannot stay in a state with more on death sentence as the governor for one more day. So what we're thinking of going to is Arizona. Unfortunately, Arizona seems poised to elect another election denier, a woman who's, like Trump, good in front of a camera because she spent her whole adult life in front of a camera. She's a former newscaster. Yeah, David came running in. Yes, David, hi.
There's a couple of things that, as good as that editorial was, that they left out.
Okay.
First of all, when was the last time you heard of DeSantis having a press conference?
Oh, he doesn't. But he does have little press gaggles, but only right-wing media is allowed in. He throws, normal media, mainstream media out of the room. And God forbid you're someone like me who is a Democrat or a liberal. You're handily thrown out, like physically removed from the room. You're
another
not allowed.
Another thing that they neglected to mention is the fact that as corrupt a slithering bag of pus that Rick Scott was, in terms of appointing donors to posts the state, DeSantis has outdone a actual criminal in that regard.
Yeah. Oh, he's just horrible on every front. Again, they could have kept going. They could have done another full page, I'm sure. There's just so much you can get in that short amount of time. So, again, I'm worried about what's going on in Arizona. We hope that smarter minds prevail, that people look at who she is, who she used to be, because apparently she used to be a reasonable, like somewhat normal person. And now she's gone all Trumper, an election denier. There's a clip, a video that actually Howie Klein had posted on Down with Tyranny that I was going to play yesterday. And I just spaced out on it. But I want to share it with you now because it's something we all need to keep in mind. You know, I'm a bit discouraged. You know, I said I was just not in a good mood and a good place earlier today, and I almost didn't do a show. But I think this, and the reason being, let me see if I can't find this tweet. Ellie Mistal, who I adore, who writes for The Nation, said something. And let me see if I can find it, because I know I liked it yesterday. I like things on Twitter so that I can hold on to them, to flag them. Okay, I found it. Ellie Mistal wrote, Republicans reacting to neck-and-neck polls, quote, hell yeah, we're going to win. Tax breaks and suffering for everybody. Praise Jesus! Democrats reacting to the same poll, oh, no, oh, no, no, oh, no, it's happening again. I'm moving to Canada. I guess we need to take some of their confidence and knock them off their high horse a little bit. So there is a pollster, one of the top Democratic Party pollsters, a guy named Stan Greenberg. And he put out a video basically what Democrats need to do to win. It runs a couple of minutes. I want to share it with you because there's a lot of good stuff in here. And I need to turn my own attitude around. Look, I do believe, I'm not a believer in God. I believe more in dog. But I do believe in the power of positivity. I believe that you bring back what you put out. And if all we put out is negativity, if all we put out is we're going to lose, then guess what? We're going to lose. So let's have an attitude adjustment and then listen to Stan Greenberg here and see what he says, because he makes some good points.
Look, it's not rocket science. To win in November, Democrats must win an economic argument against the Republicans, and one of the top priorities must be to inform voters that we can help working people with the high cost of living. And this is a volatile moment, as two-thirds of the country think we are on the wrong track. So there is a real danger that Democrats could lose if we talk up this good economy and discuss the legislation we passed through Congress without first making clear that we're running on an agenda that will continue to deal with the high cost of living. Democracy Corps recently did a large survey and found the economic argument that resonates most with voters. It's pretty straightforward. So let me kind of present it in the form of a 30-second ad.
Okay.
Corporate profits are high, but hardworking families aren't seeing an increase in our paychecks. I'm running for Congress, and if elected, the first thing I'm going to do is pass a bill that would deliver working people up to $600 a month to help with the rising cost of groceries, gas, and housing. And I want to pay for it by taxing big corporations whose greed is unacceptable. My Republican opponent is an extremist who takes contributions from oil and drug companies, and he doesn't get it. Let's work together to tackle the high cost of living. I'm Stan Greenberg, and I approve this message. Pretty simple, right?
Pretty simple.
So let's deconstruct the elements of the ad that are most important here. So what we found in our polling is that expanding the child tax credit resonates almost more powerfully than anything else we tested with working class voters under the age of 50. When voters understand that Republicans took the tax credit away, it is one of the most effective attacks. That expanded child tax credit could deliver up to $600 a month in the pockets of working people. It's an economic promise that you can explain and show it how it makes a difference in their lives. And at the same time, you show how the Republicans are standing in the way. But here's the danger. When we tested arguments that tout Democratic accomplishments, talking up the economy and the creation of good jobs, while avoiding discussion of the challenges of high cost of living, those messages provide the worst results. What we also found in our survey is that engaging at this point on the crime issue hurts Democrats more than it helps. We get a reduced vote margin after we join the debate on funding and defunding the police. This is not the time to, you know, elevate the crime issue. The good news is that Democrats hold or get to a 4-point lead when they contest the cost of living. Time is short, but we can still make gains if we focus Democrats on making populist economic messages that appeal to working people.
It makes sense, right? I mean, I think it makes complete sense. We need to go there. We need to talk about all these things. Look, Bernie Sanders said they need to focus not only on abortion, but on the economy. Right. We do. We need to talk about all of it. The thing that they never bring up is what I talked about the other day, that the entire world is suffering from inflation. There were extraordinary circumstances in this decade, COVID. Despite the deniers claiming it's a hoax, it's not real. Oh, you stupid idiots, you wore masks. You got vaccines. Yeah. Inflation is global, and there are many places on the planet who are not handling it as well as President Joe Biden is. Just saying, there's a lot of good stuff going on, but we are letting them control the narrative. John Doe is asked, what is he running for? He's not. He's a pollster. John, stop. So all that stuff is going on. So we need to sort of realign our thinking. We need to listen to Elie Mystal and not be defeatists. Let's celebrate. I got a couple of new ads that I can play for you from a few candidates who we know and love. Let me see if I can bring this one up. I played a clip from Katie Porter the other day doing one of her wonderful whiteboard things. Katie Porter is being targeted by the right. Here's her new ad. Let's see if I can get this going. Here we go.
I'm Katie Porter, and I approve this message.
Orange County, be warned. Turns out the real Scott Baugh is a professional lobbyist and a serial lawbreaker. Scott Baugh faced more than 20 criminal charges, 4 of them felonies. Scott Baugh fined nearly $50,000 for breaking campaign finance laws, investigated for credit card fraud, even charged with perjury. That's the real Scott Baugh, a lobbyist lawbreaker in politics for himself, not for you.
I'm Katie Porter, and I approve this message.
All right, so Katie Porter, I just played that. Katie Porter warning against the Scott Baugh guy. All right, let me share with you the new one from Raphael Warnock. Here we go. Fact-checking Herschel Walker on insulin.
So you stand by those statements about the importance of eating.
You got to eat right. For if you're taking insulin, you still got to eat the proper diet. Otherwise, you're not going to do you any good.
Doctors say, depending on what kind of diabetes you have, it may be an issue that you have from birth, and therefore you would.
You still have to eat right. You still have to eat right. It doesn't matter.
You still have to eat right. I'm being a police officer.
Flashing a badge feeds that narrative
I never embellished. I worked with law enforcement. See, now
he did claim to be in law enforcement when he wasn't.
Nope, I'm right because
on abortion.
Early on in the race, you said that you were opposed to any exceptions for an abortion. So why the change?
Well, it wasn't a change. I said I support life.
But there's not a national ban on abortion right now, and I think that's a problem.
Early in this race, though, you had indicated you don't want any exceptions.
No, I said I'm for life. I never said I didn't have an exception.
Herschel Walker says he wants total ban on abortion with no exceptions.
Don't do things just because you want to get a vote. Don't say things that you don't understand.
Insulin lie, law enforcement lie, abortion lie. And there you go. So that from the Warnock camp. It's down to the wire, people. And this, what gets me is this should not even be close. This should not be close. Raphael Warnock versus Herschel Walker? Now, if they were playing football, I'd say, yeah, I guess Walker's the guy. But serving in the U.S. Senate? Seriously? I don't even know what to do with that. Don't know what to do with that. So here we are. The weekend is upon us. Lots of people will be knocking on doors, canvassing, doing phone banking. Maybe you could do some of that. Is there a candidate you love? Maybe you live in Florida, but you really love Katie Porter and you want to help her. You can. We need to up our game. They're saying, look, I have a problem with the polls because I don't necessarily trust them because we've been misled so much. But, you know, what they're saying is the enthusiasm gap is there. That Republicans are more enthusiastic. And I know it's the horse race. But we can't ignore it. We need to talk about the issues, which I think that's what I've been doing today. We need to talk the issues, but we also need to impart to people how important it is that we all vote. We got to vote, because otherwise you wind up with someone like this as governor of
Arizona. I'm a true believer that if MLK, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., were alive today, if JFK were alive today, if our founding fathers were alive today, they would be America First Republicans. I really believe that.
Martin Luther King's family is pushing back. How dare she? But that's what Republicans do. They decide that they get to control the narrative. We need to take it back. Take back the narrative. All right. Yes, because our mainstream media is so bad. It really is. Oh, God. Today, CNN actually had a story that Donald Trump's plane is back in service again. Really? Are you fucking kidding me? This attempt to normalize the abnormal practices of today's Republican Party should be enough to scare you to the ballot box and vote a straight Democratic line. I get it. There are some people who's like, but the Democrats, they've been so ineffective. Well, you know what? Biden's actually doing a pretty damn good job given the constraints, which is not even a majority in the Senate, just the tie-breaking vote. And one vote majority in the House is where we're at now. So, yeah, Ford Country in the chat room said, next week she'll probably say Hitler would be a rabbi. Well, yeah, they do that. They do that. Bella Lugrisi said Warnock is actually worth voting for. It's not just a vote against Walker. That's true, too. And I'll say this. You know me. I'm pretty damn liberal. I actually think Charlie Crist here in Florida is worth voting for. This state needs somebody who's got empathy and compassion. which Charlie Crist does. I believe he does. And Ron DeSantis wouldn't know if it smacked him across the face, which it should. We all should. Maybe he's ready to hightail it out of the country. Who? He's flying to Moscow. I don't know who you're talking about. Okay, well, with that, we're done. Thank you, everybody, for hanging here. Thank you for putting up with me. We never did get to play any of those clips, the interviews from 10 years ago today. But I'll share them with you one of these days. I'm going to be moving soon, so I'm going to have to put something in this time slot eventually. All right. Thank you, everybody. I'll see you Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. And, oh, yeah, Steve Bannon sentenced to 4 months in jail. I guess that's better than nothing. And Donald Trump has been subpoenaed. We'll see what happens with that. All right. With that, I leave you with the news. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. Again, wonderful weekend. Until Monday, be good.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Supreme Court Justice Amy Coney Barrett on Thursday rejected a challenge to President Biden's plan to forgive some student loan debt for millions of Americans. Why Barrett? Well, she happens to be the justice with jurisdiction over the lower court that was involved in the case. She appeared to agree with the district court judge that the Brown County Taxpayers Association in Wisconsin does not have standing to challenge Biden's student loan debt forgiveness plan. And a different federal district court judge in Missouri on Thursday rejected a similar lawsuit filed by 6 Republican-led states, ruling that they also do not have standing. So the forgiveness program is set to go into effect. However, the legal battles are far from over. The issue could potentially end up back at the Supreme Court soon. Meanwhile, at least 12 million people have already applied for relief since the program was launched last week. In Georgia, voters are casting early ballots at a record pace. Georgia entered its third day of early in-person voting Wednesday with more than 291,700 ballots already cast. 268,050 of those in person and 23,690 absentee. That exceeds the totals from the first 2 days of voting in 2020, even though that was a presidential election. Reasons for the huge early turnout? Well, Georgia's U.S. Senate race between incumbent Raphael Warnock and his challenger, former football player Herschel Walker, which is illogically neck and neck, is said to be one of the few likely to determine which party controls the Senate. Also, Georgia recently enacted new laws restricting voter access, so Georgia voters are likely turning out early to make sure that their votes will count. Now, while we're talking Georgia, a federal appeals court has ruled that Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina must testify before a special grand jury investigating whether Donald Trump and others illegally tried to influence the 2020 election in that state. Graham's phone calls to Georgia's Secretary of State after the election are of particular interest to the Fulton County District Attorney, Fonnie Willis. Graham's lawyers previously said that they'd take it to the Supreme Court if this were the appeals outcome. Stay tuned. Washington Post reporting Friday morning that Tesla CEO Elon Musk told potential investors that he would cut nearly 75% of Twitter's 7,500-strong workforce if his deal to buy Twitter goes through. Fears of a new COVID-19 winter surge are rising as a group of new variants appears to be gaining traction around the world. New numbers show cases in the U.S. are dropping, but several emerging variants accounted for almost 1 in 3 new infections nationwide last week. Some experts think this convergence means that we've entered a new phase in the evolution of the virus, one that more eludes immunity provided by vaccines. Well, updated booster vaccines and antiviral drugs like Paxlovid are expected to continue to be protective against severe outcomes from COVID-19 infections caused by these new variants. And vaccine experts advising the CDC are now supporting adding COVID-19 vaccines to the agency's list of recommended regular immunizations. The group voted unanimously to include the vaccines alongside measles, tetanus, and other inoculations that adults and children 6 months and older should get in the U.S. That move could also bolster the efforts of states to require the shots for school children, though it could also face pushback from parents. Unfortunately, many Republican officials think they know better than doctors and scientists. For instance, like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who on Thursday actually again discouraged parents from vaccinating and boosting their children.
The Surgeon General of Florida does not recommend this for young kids, for kids under 18, and basically his reason for that, there's not really been a proven benefit for that. I mean, we can get into some of the potential side effects. You don't even really need to do that. Not been a proven benefit, but it's a free state. Parents can make the other decision if that's what they want.
Ron DeSantis, incredibly irresponsible and unconscionable. Florida, don't reelect this man, and certainly don't entertain his ambitions to become president, please. Over in the UK, things are in turmoil. Prime Minister Liz Truss resigned on Thursday after just 45 days in office, saying she no longer had the support of her Conservative Party and could not deliver on campaign promises. Her resignation one day after vowing to remain in office makes her the shortest-serving prime minister in the country's history. And yes, it's made her the target of some derision. Former White House Communications Director Anthony Scaramucci, who infamously lasted a short 11 days under the former guy, offered his take, tweeting Thursday morning, "Liz Truss lasted 4.1 Scaramucci's." Touche. And finally, Steve Bannon was sentenced Friday morning for criminal contempt of Congress after defying a subpoena from the House committee investigating the events surrounding January 6th. Judge Nichols said that flaunting congressional subpoenas betrays a lack of respect for the legislative branch. Judge Carl Nichols sentencing Steve Bannon to 4 months in prison and a $6,500 fine. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button. Nichols sentencing Steve Bannon to 4 months in prison and a $6,500 fine. And that's just a bit of what's news. For now, I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.
The Leslie Marshall Show, the only true democracy in talk radio, of, for, and by you, the people. Live nationwide and streaming live at LeslieMarshallShow.com. Call in with your thoughts at 888-6-LESLIE.
Here to set you free. How you doing? I'm Leslie Marshall. Welcome or welcome back. Only true democracy in talk. And thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. A beautiful day here in sunny Southern California. I hope it is with you, but it will be more beautiful because you just heard woman. Well, you're going to have two beautiful women inside and out joining you in just a bit. Want to thank everybody listening on radio, on podcast, on stream, also watching us on Twitter's Periscope, LinkedIn Live, YouTube Live, Facebook Live. And we're really happy to have you with us. Also happy to have Kim Miller with us. Ms. Miller serves as an assistant to the USW International President, who you love and has been on the show. I'm a big fan, Mr. President Tom Conway. She primarily works on political and legislative projects, and we have a midterm election coming up, in case you didn't know, just weeks away. And that includes overseeing much of the union's member-to-member outreach around the 2022 midterm elections. Now, prior to that, Kim was the director of the USW's Rapid Response Program, and we've talked about that on the program. That program educates and engages members in the legislative and policy decisions that impact working people. She is a fourth-generation union member who, along with her husband and son, call Pittsburgh, great city in PA there, home. Thank you for joining us. Good to have with us Ms. Kim Miller. Mrs. Miller, thank you for being with us. You like Ms. Miller, Miss Miller, Mrs. Miller, Kim, what do you like? Leslie, please just go with Kim, and thanks for having me on.
I'm with you. I like that first name basis. Keeps us younger, right? Thank you for being with us. And, you know, midterm elections, you know, for the longest time, when they're months away, people, myself, I'll say on radio and television, it's a lifetime away. Well, it's not a lifetime anymore. It's around the corner. We're just weeks away. And some people on the right will say there's going to be a tsunami. There's going to be a red wave. And there are people on the left that are concerned, you know, Democrats will lose a lot of seats in the House. A lot of people say the Senate is up for grabs. But one of the things I'm not seeing enough and hearing enough in the headlines, which I'm glad we're going to talk about today, are the wins that Democrats have achieved, especially wins for workers, right? And these have been big wins and also not easy to get. I mean, Democrats, although they have a majority, it's a slim majority in both the House and the Senate. But they've worked with President Biden, and there have been major achievements that definitely are pros and positives in the columns of favor for workers and favor for the families of these workers. First of all, why do you think, Kim, that they don't get as much attention in the headlines? Because, you know, and quite frankly, that a lot of the people running in these midterm elections, whether a first time out of the box or certainly those who are incumbents, you know, running for re-election, why aren't they saying, look at all we've done for workers and their families? Because these are definitely, kitchen table issues, which the polls show voters are most concerned about.
Well, Leslie, I can't explain why everybody's